All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
What's going on?
Today, we're going to recover the stacked UFC 290 card, how it went down, and we're going to talk a little bit about Holm versus Silva, a couple fights on there that are exciting. Let's get into it. All right, so...
What a card.
Yeah, got to be card of the year for me so far. Easy.
Just after I said that Jacksonville won, fucking UFC 290 comes. And dude, if you're a fan of just vicious early, you know, finishes, UFC 290 is that your card, man.
Yeah, I saw a stat that said that they broke the record for the most sub minute finishes in a card. I'm counting it up right now. They had four, so that's pretty impressive. I mean, besides the early finishes too, though, like every fight that went past the first round was an absolute banger. You know, the Turner versus Hooker fight was insane. The main event was awesome. Great performance from Volkanovski. But the co-main event really stole the show for me. Pantoja versus Moreno. I said it on the preview that I thought that would be fight of the night, and it ended up being that. It was so exciting. Every exchange was so competitive, and I thought it was a clear victory for Pantoja. Some people might have thought it went the other way, but I thought Pantoja did more than enough to get the job done. And I was super impressed with him. But let's start from the main event and we'll work our way down. Volkanovski.
The great reign continues, man. I felt that he probably could have finished Yair, but you know, you had me kind of guessing. Because Yair is a tough individual, but dude, Volk's on another level. And then this whole like Ilya Topuria kind of stepping in, I don't see it being that this is a carbon copy. You know what I mean? The great reign. I think at this point, Alexander just needs to move up to 155, but I think he wants to hold them both simultaneously. That's what's stopping him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Topuria fight for him now. I mean, what else is there, right? You know,
Here's the thing though. Like we saw it in the one with Emmett was like looking for those bombs and everything, but he was pretty much backed against the cage. There's no way that you'd see Volk backed up against the cage like that, trying to look for bombs. You know, Ilya would be the one on the outside, and I just don't see that being any different than what we saw, this past Saturday. You know, so I think really the only thing keeping Volk at 145 is his desire to hold two of them at the same time, and then maybe also defend it once. And both weight classes, so he can say he did that and he's a true fighting champion both. But that's the only thing. That's the only reason he's at 45 anymore. There's nobody else that he can think that's on his level. This is clear. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think Topuria might be one of those guys that rises to the occasion. And it's going to be interesting to see Volkanovski fight somebody that's actually his size for once. But, man, what a performance against Yair. You know, I really didn't think that he would be able to knock him out like that. Like, I thought Volkanovski would take him to a decision, grind him out, you know, maybe get, like, a fifth round or fourth round finish. But the way he caught him with that check hook and then just absolutely swarmed him with the takedown and the ground and pound, it was a great finish and a beautiful performance from Volkanovski. He was a step ahead the whole time. And that co-main event, man, holy shit. Like, Alexandre Pantoja versus Brandon Moreno took years off each other's lives and just super exciting back and forth fight. Great grappling exchanges, great striking exchanges, you know, cardio throughout the whole thing. You see Moreno so improved from their first two fights, and it just wasn't enough for the tenacity of Pantoja. You know, he ended up just overwhelming him and swarming him. I had it up 3-1 going into the fifth, and then I thought Pantoja took the fifth as well. So I had it 49-46 for Pantoja, but I could definitely see it 48-47. Fifth round was super close, but you know, all the rounds besides the first and second were close. The first was clearly Pantoja, the second was clearly Moreno, and then it just like was a shit show after that. And I'm really happy we saw that fight. You know, that for me, probably fight of the year, if not that or Makhachev versus Volkanovski. Just on sheer, you know, technical prowess shown in the fight. But this was just an absolute war, and I feel blessed that we were able to see that, especially on this great card. Like, as if the card couldn't get any better, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, good on Pantoja too. Like, I had Moreno, so I hate that it, you know, didn't go my way, but that's just one of those fights that you can't just be help it be happy for the victor. And then hearing his story too about how he was like an Uber driver, like, you know, right before that, trying to make that's the kind of stories I like hearing. Dude, bad night for Mexico, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They lost two of their champs. I do think that Grasso will defend the belt against Shevchenko, but yeah, that three Mexican champions thing kind of fizzled out quickly, you know?
That's all right, man. That's the name of the game. And I mean, there's no shame, you know? Pantoja's an awesome, that was an awesome fight, just like you were saying, you know? Do you think we'll see a fourth encounter between these two?
I mean, I'm not mad at it because it's a great fight, but I do think they'll probably give the shot to Amir Albazi. And I think that's a good matchup, Albazi versus Pantoja, two great back takers. I imagine that Pantoja gets it done that night, but they'll probably try to put that together for August, or not for August, for October in Abu Dhabi. That's what I'm picturing. If Pantoja can come back that quick, I don't know if he had any long lasting damage from this fight. Guy seems to be built out of cement, so I don't know if he even gets injured. But yeah, let's continue going down the card.
Dude, fucking Derek Duplessis. How about that? Derek Duplessis, dude. Who would have thought, dude? Yeah. Holy. I didn't see that coming at all.
Nah, man, it was heartbreaking. It was like watching my dad getting beat up, you know? Like, I love Robert Whittaker, man. And see him just not only get knocked out, but to get ran over like that, like... yeah, to get ran over like that, it was shocking, dude. Like, I didn't think Duplessis had a chance. I thought if anything, he would catch him with like a stray shot and swarm him. I mean, which he ended up doing, but he got that takedown in the first round. He was smothering him. He was so much stronger and bigger than him, which is something that I failed to take into account. In my mind, they were kind of on the same plane athletically, and that clearly wasn't the case because Drickus is so big and you know, muscular compared to Robert. He made Robert look like a former 170er in there, you know?
Yeah, I think he can get it done against Izzy. I'm not saying he will, and I'm not saying that's where I'm going to put my money, but I'm saying that performance made me a believer in, you know, his chances. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He looked good. He looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, he had so many answers for Whitaker's game. Like, even Whitaker's padded a 1-2 head kick, he was able to circle away from and kind of let it land on his shoulders rather than his face. I think, you know, before this fight, I had no doubt in my mind that Izzy would make him look like a fool. Now I'm starting to second guess it just because of the grappling threat, the cardio, the obvious just, you know, he's not going to quit in there. He has no quit in him. So, I mean, I don't know. I think, sorry, I keep sneezing. I think it's a very close fight, closer than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, if the odds are like crazy in Adesanya's favor, I'll probably end up throwing a little bit on Duplessis just to, you know, garnish the underdog pick.
Yeah, get that juice, baby. But he looked good. He looked, like you said, it's one of those things where he, you know, I think if he had gone against him prior to this matchup, you know, I would have looked at it like, oh, it's just a lamb going to slaughter, you know?
Yeah.
Very similar. But this one's like, okay, cool. Like, I can see them, you know, building the fight and making me believe that there's a legitimate chance that this guy can get the title off Izzy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge feather in his cap to finish with Robert Whittaker. You know, the only person that had done it before was Stephen Thompson and, you know, Israel Adesanya. So the guy's only lost to the best. He's only lost to Izzy in the last, like, 8 years, I think it was, something like that. So it's very impressive for Duplessis to get that finish and to, you know, the way that he won, too. It wasn't a lucky shot. It was a measured approach that he took. And he looked great, man. I'm excited to see where he goes from here. Honestly, I wasn't a big fan before, but especially after the press conference, the post-fight press conference, I'm starting to turn around on Duplessis. He just works really hard and is super humble, you know?
Yeah, and Izzy's kind of like the exact opposite. It's like he's making me more of a Duplessis. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to, like, play the heel.
I
think because like saying like I manifest this, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that Duplessis just went there and manifested all of it, Robert Whittaker. But that's something for another time. But I'm excited for the matchup. I'll say that I'm a lot more excited for one of those matchups than a lot of other ones I've been in a long time.
Yeah, definitely. That's a very exciting middleweight title fight, which is something that I haven't been able to say for a while. You know. I don't know where Whittaker goes from here. I guess maybe he fights Sean Strickland. That would be a good fight. If not, you know, maybe they do a fight with him and the winner of like maybe he takes a step down, fights somebody like Muniz or something like that. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but definitely take some time off, you know, rest up, my boy. And I'm sure we'll see him get a victory in his next outing.
Speaking of getting a victory, Hangman Hooker got it done. I love seeing that.
Yeah, my God, bro. I thought I had a lot of bets on Jalen Turner to get it done in round one or under one and a half rounds. And it looked like he was going to knock him out for a few seconds, you know. But Hooker's just I underestimate his toughness every time, man. Like, he's one of the toughest motherfuckers in the sport. That's the thing, though.
It's like sometimes you underestimate it and sometimes you over. Like, with him, it's really like wishy-washy.
Yeah, it's like what version is going to show up, you know?
Exactly. It's like, are you going to be the dude that's got like an iron chin, or are you going to be the dude that's like, oh, well, you know.
Super slow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and this isn't even hate on him. I love Hooker. He's like he's one of my favorite active fighters, but he's very hot and cold.
Yeah, and I mean, he was hot last night, or Saturday night, rather. He really turned it up, especially in that second and third round. He started to turn it up on him and walked right through that head kick, which was absolutely insane. I don't know how he survived that. There was a lot of huge punches and kicks that landed on both sides that, you know, I was surprised that neither guy went down. The odds for that fight to go to decision were like plus 600, you know, so it's crazy that that it went that way. And for it to be such a close fight is no surprise, considering like how well-versed both guys are, especially in the striking exchanges. But yeah, that was a kick-ass fight. Definitely would have been fight of the night if it wasn't for the Pantoja fight later. Bo Nickel got it done, knocked the dude out.
Yeah, I feel, and this is, he's in a weird thing. People are giving him all sorts of like praise and then hate and everything. The dude's just trying to go out there and fight, you know what I mean? Because like, he finally showed his hands a little bit, and it's like, all right, cool. And then people are kind of going in on him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a classic setup, you know. He was faking the takedown and then landing the overhand is, yeah, you know, a tale as old as time.
Yeah, like, I would be curious to see him in, like, I hope he doesn't get into these, like, full-on boxing exchanges with, like, legit world champions in the cage.
No, of course
but
not.
I wouldn't mind seeing, like, you know, how is his ability to set up his strikes without using his wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If he gets it, which, granted, there's probably not going to be very many people that are able to, like, stop his wrestling once he gets it going. You know, I think, but all this also something that you kind of alluded to in a couple different episodes is that, you know, as you get older, you know, not sure how long he decides to stay in this game, but, you know, getting those takedowns are a lot more taxing on your body. So I'd be interested to see him, you know, starting to really open up his striking without using that double leg fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that with his background and his fighting style in general, everybody's going to be worried about the takedown already. So it kind of already opens up his striking, like how it was for Khabib, you know, like people are so worried about the takedown threat that even if he doesn't fake it, that's what they're going to be thinking about. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm excited to see how he develops, especially coming off of this knockout. Obviously not a huge name in the opponent. The guy came in on short notice, but the dude looked tough, and Bo took it out of him really quick. Speaking of guys getting out of there quickly, Robbie Lawler had a great knockout over Nico Price to end his career.
Dude,
Nico
love Price, that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, what a moment for Lawler, you know, such a storied career. And I'd love to do a deep dive on his career one of these days. But to have it end on a high note like that, especially with that package that they put together at the end of the fight with all the clips of him, you know, in Strikeforce and early UFC and stuff and his title run, it was a really beautiful moment. Nico Price looked like shit. I didn't think that he was going to look that bad, honestly. I mean, they had him as a minus 260 or something like that, and he came out so slow and plodding and, you know, got hurt with the first strike that Robbie landed, which, I mean, no surprise because Robbie's a monster, but, like, it just, I think I overestimated the youth factor because Nico Price is kind of shop worn himself. So it was a good fight for Lawler to go out on, a huge knockout. And I'm happy to see the legend go out on a high note. You know,
I know, man, because there's so many of them that go out on the shield. And I love that. I don't mind it. But at the same time, I'd rather just see them just as well. See them go like Frank did. Frank Edgar went out on a loss. That shit
went out on like four losses. Yeah,
that shit hurts. Like, I don't like seeing that. Like, so getting to see someone that, you know, brought me so much joy through their just absolute barbaric ways in the cage, you know, it makes me happy to see them be able to like get a good send off.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Heartwarming moment, which is very rare in the sport. Tatsuro Taira got the victory against his short notice opponent, ended up taking him to decision. I thought he could have got the finish there a couple times, but the dude was tough as nails, so he ended up just smothering him on weight to the 29-27. Denise Gomez, oh my god, bro.
I forgot she was on this card.
Honestly. Yeah, I was watching this fight with my girlfriend, and I told her, like, right before the fight, I was like, yo, like, Uruguay's a great fighter, you know, we're both familiar, but Gomez hits really hard, and if she could catch her early, it could be a rough night for Uruguay, and that's exactly what happened. She just charged forward and landed that huge, like, ducking into the overhand, and Uruguay was on Bambi legs after that. It was only a matter of time. Gomez is definitely one to watch in this division. This division is starting to open up really nicely, strawweight and flyweight. The women's divisions have just gotten a huge injection of talent in these last few years, and I'm really happy to see that, you know. But yeah, Gomez looked like a monster, and I think she was like a plus 300 also, so it was a huge money if you guys put money on that one. Menafield got it done against Crew. That was a good fight as long as it lasted. Jimmy Crew, I believe he retired after the fight. If not, he definitely should, because it seems like he just doesn't have the spirit anymore, and you know, once that will to win goes away, it's not easy
to be in the cage.
Yeah, you don't want to be locked in there with another killer if you don't have your mindset on that 100%, which is what I was kind of worried about Dan Hooker. I thought he kind of lost the will to win, but clearly he didn't, because he came out like a dog against Turner. But yeah, I mean, huge victory for Menafield. Great way to end that little rivalry that they had. Got the finish in the second round. Prelims were decent. You know, there was that one punch knockout from Santos Aguilar versus Shannon Ross. That was pretty impressive. Cameron Simon smashed the dude he was supposed to smash. Yeah, pretty decent card there altogether. I mean, phenomenal card, you know, best card of the year, in my opinion. The main card was spectacular. Now let's go from the best card of the year to probably the worst. Holly Holm versus Myra Moreno Silva. Absolute dog shit main event, but you know, I don't
appreciate you talking about Holly Holm like that.
I mean, honestly though, how many Holly Holm main events have we seen? Like, and how many of them have actually delivered? Like, maybe 3 out of the 18.
Hey, she gave us that head kick, and that's all that matters.
that's her claim to fame for sure. That's her I don't know what, like, the holy grail for her.
Who have you kicked in the head that brought you any fame?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, I honestly remember her fight against Betch Kohea a lot too. That was hilarious. It was just them doing nothing for 3 rounds, and then Betch, like, taunts her, and she gets lopped on the side of the head and gets murdered. Just
brings that hammer back in to finish the job. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's like the most memorable. I mean, obviously the head kick against Ronda Rousey, but I love that moment for Holm. I thought it was hilarious.
I know. I personally would love to see her hold the title one more time before she calls it a day. And I know this is a huge make or break moment for her on this one.
If she gets the victory here, I don't see why they wouldn't give her a title shot. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck else? Like, I don't know. Maybe you could give it to, I guess Juliana Pena and Raquel Pennington should probably fight for the vacant strap. But, you know, Holly Holm's right there. She's always right there. If she beats this girl, probably fights the winner of that fight for the title. I think that's the move to make, but you know, it's easier said than done. Myra Moreno Silva is a solid grappler. She's pretty well-rounded, but her grappling is definitely her strong suit. She's coming off of, 2 finishes in the UFC against Stephanie Egger and Lena Landsberg, who both are not in the promotion anymore. And before that she beat Wu Yanan, who is also not in the promotion anymore. So maybe not the best record on paper. You know, she's had a lot of fights though in the UFC, a lot of finishes. And I think that's really what she's bringing to the table is her grappling threat. Most of her victories are by submission, so you know she's always looking for the finish on the ground. There, Holly Holm is not a terrible grappler by any means. That's actually how she usually employs her game plan to win her fights, is through her cage wrestling.
She hasn't ever been submitted. So I mean,
she got submitted against Misha Tate.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah,
that
was
2016 though.
Yeah, that was a while ago. She's definitely improved since then, and I mean, she's made her grappling more of a threat since then as well. I'm really not sure who to pick in this fight. Honestly, I don't know what the odds are looking like either. Let me pull that up real quick just to get an idea. But I mean, like, to be honest, I think just on physicality wise, It's hard for me to pick against Holm in this fight. She's got, you know, a huge reach advantage over Mara Buena Silva, and she looks a lot stronger in the cage. So I wouldn't be surprised if she just, you know, muscles her way to a decision victory. They have Holm at a minus 175.
You think she's going to get the decision over five rounds?
Yeah, I mean, Holm knows how to win rounds. Buena Silva's never been finished, and Holm hasn't finished somebody in a long time. So I think if she does get it done, it'll be by decision. Last person she finished was Betch Kohea. That was 2017. So, I like Holm in the fight. I think she gets it done. She knows how to win. She's had more experience, obviously. And I think she'll probably just out-muscle Buena Silva, unless she got completely old overnight. But it doesn't seem like that happens to her. It seems like she's got a candle that's going to keep burning for a long time. So, yeah, I like Holm in the fight. Yeah, that's where I'm going.
I think Holm by decision is probably what I'm going to put my money on.
Yeah, I don't know what the odds are like, but, I mean, they have her money line minus 175, so I'm sure the decision's like plus 100, you know. Good money there. Not too bad.
I need to get back on track because my family's starving over here.
Yeah. No, enough ramen. We need to get back to the sushi. But yeah, co-main event's actually pretty exciting. I like this fight. Albert Duraya versus Ju-Young Park. Ju-Young Park, a.k.a. the Iron Turtle, is super exciting to watch. He looks like a turtle. That's why they call him that. And he's fighting Albert Duraya, who is tough as nails, maybe a little bit limited in his game plans, tends to kind of swing for the fences and clinch up. That's like his motif, you know. Ju-Young Park has a little bit more of a well-rounded game plan and seems to be always looking for the finish. I like Park in this fight. I like him in most fights in this division, honestly. But after Duraya's last fight against Chidian Jaquani, which I thought he lost, I'm ready to see him. I'm not ready to say him. I think he's like starting to decline a little bit, and I think Ju-Young Park is not somebody that you want to take a night off against. So I'm going with Park in this fight. I'm just going to go money line. I'm not really sure how he gets it done. He could finish him. He could get the decision. But yeah, Park seems like a good pick here. A couple other fights on this card that I want to go over. Norma Dumont versus Chelsea Chandler is an interesting fight. Norma Dumont. More well-rounded than she seems. She has good takedown defense, and obviously her bread and butter is through her striking. She was able to beat up a world champion boxer not too long ago in Danielle Wolf. And after that, she took out one of the hot prospects in Carol Hoja. Just, you know, kind of ran through her. It's been a while since we've seen her loss. She lost to Macy Chasson in a very close fight, which I thought she won, and she lost to Megan Anderson a few years ago. But she's fighting Chelsea Chandler, who is a hot prospect coming out of the Nick Diaz Academy over there in Stockton. She's super tough, Chelsea Chandler. She only has the one fight in the UFC, but she looked like an absolute monster in it. She has a grappling heavy game plan, likes to take people down, get right to the mount or to, you know, a dominant position like crucifix or something, and just absolutely unload on her ground and pound. If she can get this fight to the floor, it's going to be a short night for Norma, but Norma is very hard to take down, like we said. So, I mean, this is a very close fight, man. I don't know who's going to get it done. Chandler is 5-1, I believe. 5-1. Her first and only loss was her first fight. And that was a decision loss. So she's never been finished. She seems to be super tough, like everybody is from Stockton. So, I mean, I'm not really sure who to pick in this fight, honestly. Who do you got in this one?
I'm riding with Chandler.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think she's going to get it done. I think I just have a feeling that this Like I said, she hasn't lost since that first one. You know, she's on the uprise. I think this is a easy one for Chandler.
Yeah, I mean, I think she has a higher ceiling than Norma Dumont. So, I feel like, you know, if she comes to starts to improve, like, I'm sure she's improving between her fights, and it's only going to get better with more cage time, but Dumont just has so much more experience at this level. It's hard for me to pick against her, you know? I don't know who to pick in this fight, honestly. I'll probably end up throwing some on Chandler by finish, because I think that's how she'll do it if she does get it done. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Dumont win a decision victory based off of striking exchanges and, not letting Chandler get to her game on the ground. A couple other fights to talk about. Terrence McKinney versus Nazim Sadikov. I think this is the sleeper fight on the card. This is a very exciting matchup. Terrence McKinney is a one-round killer-be-killed fighter. If he doesn't get you out of there in the first round, he will likely gas out and get finished himself. So it always makes for an exciting fight like that. Nazim Sadikov, second fight in the UFC, and from the Jersey, New York area. So I'm familiar with him. I've been following him for a couple of years now. So I'm excited to see him start to get some more fights in the UFC. His first fight was against Evan Elder, and it was controversial, to say the least. Seemed like he was losing a lot of the fight, and then he ended up cutting Elder in a spot that he couldn't continue. So he got the TKO that way. But you know, it was kind of like a saving grace because he was losing most of those exchanges, I feel. But Sadikov's game plan is very Merab Dvalishvili-esque. He throws a lot of volume on the feet and throws a lot of takedown attempts. Will attempt to, you know, weaponize his pace and make the other guy gas out. He has a good grappling game plan. No like crazy credentials. He's not like a black belt or, you know, some high-level kickboxer before he started. He started doing MMA altogether. So very well-rounded in that sense. I think he's got a super high ceiling. I like McKinney as well. But again, if he can't get you out of there in the first round, he's probably going to get finished in the second or third. And I think that's the theme for all of McKinney's fights, but in this fight more so because Nazim does have that kind of drown-you-out style. And I like Nazim to get it done here, man. I mean, I'm riding with my boy, not only because he's from the area that I'm from, but because I think this is a stylistic matchup that plays well into his favor. McKinney's going to have to come out really hot and try to, you know, nuke Nazim early. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a long night for him. I think I think Sadikov is going to take him down over and over and put him in a lot of positions that he doesn't want to be in and eventually find a submission or a TKO just from exhaustion. That's my read on the fight. I'm excited to see how it goes down, though. Then on the prelims, we have Reject Ella Maddalena. He's fighting again, or, you know, fighting actually this time. The last time his opponent pulled out the day of with a brain injury or he brain got smart. Disease.
That's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, I thought Maddalena was going to knock him out in the first round either way. I'm not going to change my mind now that he's fighting somebody else that's coming in off the regionals. This dude, Basil Hafez. He's more of a brawler than anything. And although he's a welterweight and although he hasn't been finished, he hasn't fought anybody this kind of caliber yet. I think it's a better matchup than the last one that they put for him with that lightweight coming up on short notice. But I still think it's going to be the same outcome. Jack Della Maddalena, round one. I'm picking him to win in round one against most of his opponents, even guys that are UFC caliber. So I don't know why I would change my mind against a guy that's coming in off the regionals and you know, has that brawler style that might lend himself to getting knocked out by Maddalena in exchange.
I'm feeling him robbing Jackie D all day, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to bet on him by round one. I don't know what the odds are. I know that money line they have him at -650, so hopefully round one's a little bit better value there. But, yeah, I mean, is there any other cards you want or fights you want to talk about on this card before we wrap it up?
Nah, man, I just wish that this was, like, earlier. I wish that anytime they do it at the Apex, I wish they would just do it, start, like, midday.
Yeah, honestly. Word. Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I feel like that would be any kind of, like, if it's a fight night, just have it midday. Makes it so much easier.
Yeah, that Emmett fight was good for that.
Huh?
The Emmett fight, I believe, started early. That was a good fight for that.
Yeah, exactly. But so you have your main event about 5 o'clock, and it's like, all right, I'm going to go do my thing of the day. I'm not going to go to the bar to watch a fight night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially not with Holly Holm on it, you know?
Hey, I would not have you besmirch Holly Holm's name anymore on this podcast.
No.
I probably will skip it, and I'll probably watch the highlights or go back and watch specific fights, you know? I doubt I'll watch this live.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see. I'm an addict, so I'm going to be watching it live. But I want to see Norma Dumont's fight. I think that's an interesting matchup. The Park Jun Young fight is an interesting one. McKinney versus Sadikov. These are fights that I'm actually excited for. Of course, you know, we have to sift through a bunch of shit to find the good gold, but it is what it is. Yeah, let's go down the betting slip. So starting from the top, I'm going to take Holly Holm by decision. I'm going to take Jun Young Park money line. I'm going to take I'm going to go with Norma Dumont money line, Sadikov money line as well, and then Della Maddalena round one.
I'm going to go with Holly Holm by decision. I got Chandler probably money line. That might change. And then Jackie D round one. That's probably all I'm putting on this one.
Oh, there's another fight that I wanted to mention I forgot about. Estela Nunez versus Victoria Dudakova. Dudikova's coming in. This is her first fight in the UFC, if I'm not mistaken, and she's looked like a monster on the regional scene. And she's fighting Estela Nunez, who is like 0-4 in the UFC. So I'm just gonna fade Estela Nunez, and I'm putting money on Dudikova. a lot of times these people are coming in off the Russian regionals or something like that, and their records are a bit padded, but her record is actually pretty solid. She's fought some good fighters, so yeah, I like her in this fight. I'll probably just drop $10 on her straight up. But yeah,
I might follow you up on that, just to kind of juice everything up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too bad of a card when you break it down. There's some good fights in there, you know.
Dispersed. It's just when you come off a big high like that last one. It was International Fight Week and everything, so you know,
yeah,
somebody has to follow it.
Yeah, for sure. Next week's card has some good fights on there. They're going back to England, so you know that English crowd is always very exciting to watch. I'm excited for that fight card. There seems to be a lot of good matchups on there, but we'll cover that one later. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. Stay tuned for the next one. You know, we didn't have a great night in UFC 290, but it was an awesome night of fights regardless. Hopefully we get a little bit back in our winning ways with this card. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate the support. Take it easy.